Welcome to the Return of the Empire podcast. I am your host, Emiliano Emil Fragoso, the 49ers beat writer for Sacktown Sports. I am at the games, doing the coverage, doing the analyst, and welcome back to the Return of the Empire, everyone. It's been a long hiatus since we last talked after the divisional round win over the Cowboys or the 49ers. A lot has changed since then, obviously, with the NFC Championship losing to the Philadelphia Eagles 31-7. And now the offseason, which the 49ers are used to this, having questions into the offseason, it's a lot to digest. But before we get to that, I want to introduce my new co-host, I should say, and I am thrilled to have him on the board.
Thank you. I want to say, too, it looks like the Empire has returned.
Yes.
If I dare, coming out of the gate hot with some awful puns. That's what happens when I do Carmichael Dave show. I start doing these terrible puns, and it's not funny. But, yeah. My name's Nate Littlefield. I'm a producer, like media content, just a whatever.
Yeah.
Just a everything kind of guy here at Sacktown Sports. But I am a diehard 49ers fan. I might be the only one in the building.
Really?
I don't know. Well, Jay Johnson is too.
He's not a diehard, but he is a Niners fan. I know Pacey. Pacey's also a Niners fan.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Pacey is. And I know Mars. We got into it one time about Jimmy Garoppolo over the air because I didn't know how much he hates Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, he does.
He said he was the 28th best quarterback in the league last year.
Yeah.
And I was like,
the Jimmy Garoppolo slander from Jay Mars was always a fun topic for me because I'm also not a Jimmy Garoppolo believer. So that was always fun for me, but I didn't hate him as much as everyone else
I was
does.
Shocked. I was so shocked.
Yeah, it was some real slander.
Yeah, so I don't think Jimmy is elite or anything like that. I think he's a good quarterback, and he did a lot for the Niners, and the wins are important. I know people go, oh, all he's got is the win stat, but whatever. This podcast is not about Jimmy anymore. Hopefully, I guess. I guess we never know with this team after last year.
Look, I am going to say right now, there is no chance in hell that Jimmy Garoppolo is on the 49ers franchise.
You just jinxed. Yeah.
I'm telling you, I feel that. And what John Lynch just said and what Kyle Shanahan said, I mean, they flat out said there is no possibility of it happening.
Okay.
I feel pretty confident.
Yeah, no, I'm confident too. Or I feel pretty confident. You sound certain.
I am certain.
Okay.
Because especially head coaches, or GMs, they're never that certain with anything in an end of year press conference.
These two do lie a lot, though.
They do.
Yeah.
I don't
have a problem with.
I have had history of them lying. We all know this. But the way they came out with Jimmy Garoppolo and just said it, and I was like, okay, the time is done. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the Tim Kawakami report with the relationship souring that happened right after as well. There's a lot to digest with Jimmy Garoppolo, but I will say, and I feel 99.9% certain, he will not be back in the red and gold next year.
Okay. I'm 93%, 96% maybe.
How do you feel about that? Is that a good thing, a bad thing?
No, it's time to move on.
Okay.
It's time to move on for sure. But I got nothing but love for Jimmy.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I?
Yeah.
As a fan. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm ready to get going.
Ready to get going?
I guess we're kind of already going.
No, we're already going, really. Yeah. It's kind of introductory podcast for us here for me and Nate, our new show together. We want to thank Jay Mars for holding down the fort with me and him last year.
That man's too busy.
Yeah, he's too busy. And now I have a diehard fan on the podcast instead
of Jay
Mars,
die.
Who is a casual fan. I guess he can throw shade at Jay Mars.
Oh, man. Yeah, I got in trouble one time over the air. I asked him if he even watches the games because we got mad. And then he's like, are you accusing me of being a casual? And we got into it. But I think that's the only time we got into a sports argument.
It's all right.
But yeah.
J-Mar
was cool.
J-Mar is getting hot about sports takes. Actually kind of surprises me.
It's fun. He's
pretty level-headed.
Yeah, he definitely is. And he's very good at all his jobs he does here. There's like 50 of them.
But he's too overextended, so that's why Nate comes in and gives a youthful perspective on the Niners and Niners fandom and just being part of the faithful.
Yep, I'm 14 years old. I love the 49ers. I'm youthful. I'm ready to go.
14 years of fandom or 14 years old?
Yeah.
Anyways, let's get to it. Just the hot topics right now. One more thing you want to mention before we get into the storylines around the NFL is that we are now officially partners, affiliates with the San Francisco 49ers. Yeah, I don't know if you heard about that, Nate.
Oh, I didn't.
I didn't either.
You know, it's funny. I may have told a couple people about that before we announced it because I thought it was public knowledge. So I like told my dad and some of my family members, and I'm like, yeah, I guess we got the Niners now. I didn't know that we weren't telling people that until like the day before. They're like, it's a secret.
Oh, like, well,
oops.
No, I told a couple family members as well before. But yes, yeah. Obviously we kept it close to the people that are around us and stuff. We didn't like broadcast and stuff, but we can officially say we are partners, affiliates of San Diego 49ers. We will now carry Niners radio calls on Sackdown Sports. A huge gift for us, and we're just excited to be a part of it. Excited to have this podcast back.
I hope they send me with you to training camp or something.
I would love that.
Yeah,
I would love to have a video guy there with me.
Yes, that's what I am.
That's half the battle for me right there.
Yeah, yep, that is, it's tough.
As Frankie's learning right now at Kings practices.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, anyways, on to the actual news around the NFL. Obviously, the big story today is Brock Purdy and him undergoing successful UCL surgery to repair, not reconstruct, that's a key word here, repair the UCL ligament in his right elbow, his throwing elbow. He underwent surgery in Dallas, Texas with Dr. Keith Meister, who is very famous, a renowned surgeon for the Texas Rangers, doing those Tommy John elbow surgeries for pitchers. So they went to a very, very popular physician to do this procedure, and it looks like everything has gone well. He's going to have an internal brace in his elbow for a while, and it's going to ramp up over the next couple months and potentially be throwing within three.
Yeah, I saw throwing with three. The six-month timeline's interesting to me because 3 months is June.
Yes.
And that's like right before, or that's kind of when things start to ramp up.
A little more.
Yeah, a little more. And if he's throwing, that's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. I just, you know, I am a little worried about health for the whole season, especially since he's so young.
Yeah.
And, you know, is Trey Lance is basically ready to go, right?
Pretty much.
As far as I know.
He's close.
Yeah.
He's back to doing full kind of practice, not full contact, obviously, but back to doing full throw, full workouts. His ankle is good. He'd gone through two procedures. It's all cleaned up now. He's back to throwing, which is a big step for him.
I just can't believe we're doing another off season of this. I was so excited when last season was over. It's so much talk. It's so much talk on every show, everywhere, just about the Niners off season and the it's dysfunction, but not in the Memphis Grizzlies sense.
Oh my
gosh. If you're an NBA fan,
let's leave that alone.
What's going on? Yeah.
So let's leave Ja alone.
Yeah. That's a. I mean, it's not just Ja. There's a lot going on there. But
yeah.
It's not an off season I'm necessarily looking forward to. Just as a creator, it's nice because you have things to talk about. Mm-hmm. But as a fan, it's gonna kind of suck a little bit.
When can you guys ever have an off season of like non uncertainty? Like you know what's gonna happen. Like it seems like never.
It's not even just that. That's every team, I think. Okay. Right. Obviously, I only really pay attention to the Niners off season. But I mean, you go around the league and you look around. It's like the Ravens. Every offseason has been chaos for them. The bad teams, obviously, it's going to be chaos. Like Washington, the Texans, they're just going to be a mess all the time. But I don't know. I don't know what a calm offseason is in the NFL. And they don't want it to be a calm offseason.
No,
they want the chaos. They want the nonsense. And that's fine.
Yeah. I gotta ask you as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
This is very much best case scenario for Purdy. And the timeline works out this way of, yes, he's throwing in June, but the real number is the six-month mark when he's supposed to be fully cleared, as they say, to be back in football activities. That would be about September 10th, which is this week one of the NFL 2023 season.
Mm-hmm.
If he is kind of cleared at that spot, would you want to see him step in week one under center, or would you want to see what Lance has to offer first?
It's too early for me to make that call.
Okay.
I'm being a fence sitter right now, but I think I'd want Trey to play.
Okay.
I think I'd want Trey to play depending, but if that situation you just laid out is what it is, if he's what would you say he's 100% healthy week one?
That's what's been thrown around is that he's supposed to be back to 100% by about week one, about the 6 month mark.
Then you play him. Yeah. I was thinking like he's still recovering, but he can play.
Well,
like
he has. He's not probably gonna be able to play any of the preseason games. I will mention that it's gonna be he's back in practice.
We're used to that, though. We're used to that with Jimmy. Jimmy's always like kind of banged up and would barely play preseason.
Oh my gosh, Jimmy. But yeah, he is supposed to be back at practice, full participating around week one of the NFL season. So there will probably be some rust, you know, getting used to his new elbow and all that stuff, but. Frankly, considering this crazy timeline it's been the last month and a half, you just got to feel some sort of relief
yeah.
with this situation. It could have been so much worse. so much worse.
Yeah, it could have been so much worse, especially if he would have opted to do the full reconstruction.
Yeah.
I mean, worse in the sense that it would have taken longer.
And I don't know if he comes back the same if he has Tommy John. I'm just going to personally say that. I just don't
know. Yeah, I mean, the recent direct comparison would be Stafford.
Yes.
Right? You just look how, I mean, last season he did not look himself at all. And I realize he's getting older, but
he got the back too.
He's got the back. He's got a lot going on. But I just want everyone to be healthy, and that's too big of an ask. I get it.
It kind of is. And so with it, though, we will have one healthy quarterback, at least on this roster, whoever they decide to sign as a veteran, and Trey Lance, who is going to be healthy going into OTAs in May. And after John Lynch's comments at the Combine, and where it's like, we're taking it one day at a time with Trey, we're watching all this stuff, do you feel confident that this brass is going to give him a chance to reclaim that number one spot over the summer?
Oh, I'm confident they'll give him a chance. I'm not confident that he will do it or be amazing. I'm not, you know, putting Trey down at all.
Yeah.
But what Brock just did for the 49ers is not something you just forget about.
Yeah.
So I think Trey will get a chance, but he's going to have to. I mean, again, last offseason, all we heard, oh, this guy's amazing, all this stuff, all the. But I don't know if you saw last offseason, there was a leaked training camp video where he just did this sick, just like flick.
I remember that.
I think it was to Debo.
Yeah.
But it leaked, and I remember seeing that and being like, okay, I understand what they're talking about. But then you see him play the Chicago game, week one, and he looked very pedestrian, but he was playing in a monsoon.
Yes.
And obviously you can't judge him off one game, and he's had the Houston game the year before where he looked good, you know, the deep ball connected, and it's just, I think the IQ maybe isn't there yet, or the IQ is there, but the application maybe isn't there yet, and everyone says it, but it's just time. He just needs reps, and Brock has those reps, and he has them at the highest level in football, right? So I think Trey will get a chance. Will he be the starter next year? I would say probably not. I would say no at this time.
It's really unfortunate. I kind of feel the same way about it. Trey Lance is one of those situations where it's like your opportunity has passed you by. And that's really sad to say for someone who the Niners trade up big to number three pick to draft him.
And it's not his fault.
It's not his fault. It's injury.
Yeah.
Whether you want to blame Kyle Shanahan for how he plays him or just dumb luck, it's just unfortunate. And by all accounts, Trey Lance is one of the nicest people in the locker room, one of the most intelligent people in that locker room, especially. I mean, the way he dissects film, you can just see the IQ jump off the tape and what the Niners love about him. The issue is just the aptitude, like you said. Can he apply the knowledge to the performance on the field? And because of the reps and the lack of it, he hasn't been able to. So it really comes down to what can he do while Brock is rehabbing? That's going to be the key for him right now.
And I don't know if he's going to win them over in training camp. Like, I think he'll have to do it in game because they've already seen so much of him in, you know, and he's already worked with all the starters in training, in practice, training, all that. Yeah. So he needs to be on the field.
Well, you remember the reports from last year. There were a bunch of reports coming around that the locker room was divided. It was Jimmy Garoppolo versus Trey Lance. Who's better? Who do we want the starter? The locker room seemed a little bit split. And that kind of told me a story there of about this Niners team and where the direction they were going in is that they just had a lot of uncertainty as to where they were going to go long term. And even with Trey Lance, just watching him in practice during training camp and stuff, I kind of was like, okay, yeah, he has a talent. He makes these plays. There's other plays where it's like, ooh, wasn't there. He missed it. He missed a throw. He was behind him. He was in front of him. Like, it's the inconsistency with Trey that has to get corrected. And this is really the make or break year from year three.
Yeah. Consistency is how you make a roster, right? How, like, look at guys like Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
He was elite when he could play out of his mind at points, but he was not consistent at that level at all. Like, not even close. So if you have it, you have it. Jameis Winston, too, might be a similar, like, he's kind of more just a chuck it up kind of player, gunslinger-esque.
Yes.
Like a worse Brett Favre, I guess. But the consistency is key in every sport, and just you need to know what you get. Jimmy was pretty consistent.
Yes.
I keep bringing him up, even though after we tried to bulldoze through him in the beginning. But
yes.
it's Brock was extremely consistent at a high level. So taking that away from him, unless this injury ruined him, is going to be very difficult.
Yeah. And I don't know if you saw the recent podcast with Fred Warner with Bustin' the Boys.
No, I didn't.
He talked about Purdy and about the situation and stuff. And it just, he described him. He has that it factor.
Yeah.
You don't know what it is, but he has that it factor.
He 100% does.
Yeah.
And they were saying that before. I remember you telling me that right when Brock took over, specifically, I think Fred Warner, you were telling me about Fred Warner in the preseason.
Yes.
Talking about Brock Purdy, maybe not having the it factor, but being a great player. Is that
it was? So I remember the exact conversation I had with him. It was Green Bay preseason game where he had that one first touchdown throw. And we were like, okay, Brock's showing some in this preseason game. That's something at least. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And they made a big deal about that throw though on the sideline. I don't know if you saw that game. Trey Lance and Fred and all, they made a big deal. Went down the field, rushed on him, all that great stuff. So I asked for after the game about Purdy, and he's like, man, I'm a Purdy guy. I am a Purdy guy. There's just something about this dude. I'm a Purdy guy. And that kind of stuck with me, you know, that
someone at that high caliber level can identify talent.
The defensive captain of the Niners was like, no, this kid, this rookie who we didn't know who he was, he is in there. And he said even this week, talking to Bustin' the Boys, he goes, some guys are scout team quarterbacks. They come in, they know their role. They just, you know, read the play script, do the thing, blah, blah, blah. Brock was trying to dice us up every single week, and he was doing it on here and there. And that told me something. It's like, man, once he gained their level of respect in practice, not in a game, not by performance, but in a practice. Because once he went into the game week 13 against the Dolphins, they weren't surprised. They kind of expected it, actually. I mean, obviously, first rookie, you don't know what's going to happen, but they're like, no, he did this in practice. And so that's really telling for me, and they keep saying it, Purdy's the guy, Purdy's the guy. Even through the surgery, Purdy's the guy. That's going to be hard to change for Trey Lance, for sure.
Yeah, it's Purdy's job right now. It's 100% Purdy's job. Yeah. And to someone unproven to come in, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan are not one to be like, okay, we drafted this guy high. He deserves a shot because of that.
Yeah.
I don't think that's going to happen at all. So
So what do you do with Trey Lance then?
What an amazing question.
Do you trade him? Like what
value does he hold? That's the issue. What value does he? And it's not. I'm not saying he doesn't hold any. I'm not going, oh well, what value? Yeah, he's not worth it. I literally don't know what anyone would trade for him. Like, you know, he sent out the finger crossed emoji when I forget his name, went to the Titans.
Rand Carthen.
Yes. Yeah. One of our executives. Mm-hmm. So it's like, there might be some value there. I think a team that is willing to take a flyer on a quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, I doubt. I know Jimmy's been connected to the Texans. I think the Texans would be interesting. I think wherever he goes, he needs to start immediately.
Trey?
Yeah. If he is traded, I don't think he needs to sit anymore. No, I think he should go and play. Yes.
He can't sit. Otherwise, his career is going to be wasted away. Like Jordan Love.
Yes, like Jordan Love.
Just like Jordan Love.
We've seen less of Jordan Love, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So crazy.
To be fair, I watched that preseason game at Green Bay. I understood why they were benching him.
Yeah.
it wasn't good.
He looked okay when Rodgers went out. I forget what game that was last season, but he looked okay. I think he threw a touchdown.
I think you're right on that one.
Yeah. Again, like, you need to play. Yeah. You need to play.
Got
to
get reps. And Purdy got the reps, and Purdy just performed not like a rookie.
No.
Not like a rookie at all. That dude.
That was the most shocked. I mean, if I get a little personal here.
Yeah.
I was in Hawaii, actually, driving around. And I know that makes me sound like a rich jerk, but it was just a really rare circumstance that I got to do.
Yeah.
I was in Hawaii with my rich uncle, actually. So he took me. I flew there, but I'm watching we're driving around the island, and I'm not going to be like, hey, I can't come out today. I have to watch the Niners game. So I got YouTube TV on my phone,
nice.
And I'm watching as we're driving around the island, and then Jimmy goes out, and the phone's cutting in and out because we're on an island with no service. Then we go and post up at a Domino's pizza in Hawaii, which Domino's in Hawaii, so much better than here.
Really?
Yes.
You had Domino's pizza in Hawaii?
Yes.
Did you have pineapple on the pizza?
I think I did.
Okay.
I think I did.
There you go.
Yeah.
Be a local.
It was so good, but regardless, We were watching this game at a Domino's, and I'm like, who is this guy? I watched him throw that touchdown to Juszczyk, and you could kind of tell. At first, I'm like, okay, it's the talent around him. They're making him better. Obviously, they are. Obviously, talent around you is going to make any player better. But you could tell that factor Fred was talking about came out instantly with him.
So we're filming this podcast right now, and I have to actually break some news.
Uh-oh.
The Chicago Bears have traded the number one overall pick.
Okay, so they're rocking with Fields.
They are rocking with Fields.
Which I agree with.
The Chicago Bears have traded number one overall pick to the Carolina Panthers.
Okay, Panthers.
The Carolina Panthers have the top pick. Here is the deal.
Okay.
The Bears will receive number 9, a second, a first and 24, a second and 25, and DJ Moore.
Will you say that one more time, the picks?
The number 9 this year.
Okay.
The second, a second, I believe, this year, a first and 24, and a second and 25, and DJ Moore. All for the number 1 pick.
I think that's the right move.
That's the right move.
That's the right move. I like Fields, and again, there's no talent around him. I was just talking about talent. There's very minimal talent around him, and he needs stability. So
yeah,
that's the Bears. I'm happy. I'm happy for Justin Fields because I really liked him.
I'm happy too. For Carolina because they just got Bryce Young probably.
Yeah,
yeah,
they did. But I'm worried for Bryce Young a little bit. But
a little sauce there. Yeah, a little sauce. We'll do draft next week. We'll do some draft free agency stuff next week.
Okay.
But yeah, major shakeup. We knew the Bears were going to do this, but to drop back 9, they're not going to get the top tier defensive lineman they were looking to get.
Yeah, but they're getting so much in return that they can find those pieces, right? I mean, the 9th pick, I think they're going to be fine. I think they'll be fine.
Okay.
I think they'll be better. I'll say that.
I agree, because what they didn't need was a quarterback and a set there at 1 and just take the best player available. What they needed to do was get draft capital and get players that actually will help him. Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad that Chicago figured out a way to get Justin Fields an actual number one receiver like DJ Moore.
Yeah.
That's what they were missing. They thought Darnell Mooney was the guy. They thought Chase Claypool was the guy. Never was going to happen.
No.
Never was going to happen. So, good for Chicago. Good for the Panthers for doing something. Frank Reich gets the number one overall pick.
Yeah, good for them.
Jeez. But yeah, anyways, back to Niners coverage. That was kind of wild. Before we wrap this show up here, I want to talk a little bit about the Niners. And with free agency next week and only having one healthy quarterback right now, who could they look at on the market for a potential veteran to bring in?
Tom Brady. I honestly feel like that is kind of still on the table a little bit. Just because of what happened last year and this guy, you never know with that guy. So whatever, I'm going to keep an open mind for that.
Okay.
I might be crazy for it.
If you get a percentage on it, what would you say Tom Brady coming back to the NFL and playing with the 49ers would be?
15%? 15.
Okay. I like it.
15. So nothing outrageous. Nothing.
It's a little hint, a little glimmer.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if that's a hot take or not, but
is that a good thing or a bad thing?
That's a good thing.
Okay.
That's a good thing.
Okay.
That's a good thing. Cause if he comes back and sucks, we got Brock and we got Brock a few weeks to get healthy.
Yeah, you do.
That's a crazy.
And who else to learn from than Tom Brady for Brock Purdy and Trey Lance?
Yeah. And does Brock need to learn anymore? No, he's the best ever. So he's got it figured out. So
he's just Steve Young reincarnated.
Yeah.
In terms of actual feasible quarterbacks, if it's not Tom Brady, they're going to be looking for a vet minimum kind of quarterback to bring in a grown up to bring into that locker room of very young talent with the players, but the quarterback room especially needs a grown up that Brian Greasy can lean on to be kind of a player coach to allow these young guys like Lance and Purdy to develop even more and to show them the right ropes. And I think that could be in the combination of, Joe Flacco, Matt Ryan, quarterbacks of the past, they had their days in the past, but they aren't looking to be the starter. They're looking to probably win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And that's the goal of the Niners, isn't every single year, is to win a Super Bowl.
So you just mentioned two names there. One I love, one I hate. Do you want to guess?
I'm going to guess you hate Joe Flacco.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hate the, do not want Flacco. I feel like he's done. He's done.
Yeah.
He's done. He's gone.
Uh-huh.
Matt Ryan. Obviously, the Shanahan connection.
Yes.
He would fit right in. Mm-hmm. I know he had a terrible season last year, but the Colts are in such disarray.
They were terrible last year.
They are they are unexplainable. I don't understand that franchise.
They had one of the best offensive lines like 3 years, and for some reason couldn't block anyone last year.
Or yeah, and
like anyone, like Quentin Nelson, like was getting stranded. It was weird.
Yeah. So I know Phillip Rivers reached out the end of last season. I don't have any desire for P. Rivs.
Now it's the Niners.
But Matt Ryan, I think, is the absolute excellent choice, especially since we're barely paying our two quarterbacks anything.
It's just, it comes down to the cap casualties, and unfortunately, the Niners have some dead cap this year, about $10 million or so. They're still paying D Ford, unfortunately.
You don't think Matt Ryan would take a pay cut?
Oh no, Matt Ryan was. So here's, do you know the situation with Matt Ryan right now?
No.
Matt Ryan's in Indianapolis. He's still under contract with the Colts.
Yeah.
He's a $35 million cap hit this year in the final year of his deal. He signed with Atlanta years back.
Yeah.
If they cut him, they save $18 million of that cap. Why wouldn't they cut him?
Mm-hmm.
Right. What's the point of having Matt Ryan on that team? What's the point of having more cap? It makes no sense to me. So, Indianapolis Colts, if you can hear this, please cut Matt Ryan and save him.
Yeah.
Save him and let him go to a contender. Because if Matt Ryan goes in that market, I guarantee you that Kyle Shanahan will come calling for
him. The Niners are a perfect scenario for him, but the Niners are also a perfect scenario for maybe every quarterback in the NFL.
Every journeyman quarterback, for sure.
Yeah.
You could see a Jacoby Brissett come in here and be like, hi, how
are
you?
Wait, you wouldn't say the Niners are a perfect situation for, like, Lamar Jackson?
I wasn't going to bring this up, but I guess we're going to. Lamar Jackson is not going to San Francisco 49ers.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying the situation. I'm not saying that at all, because they cannot pay him.
They can't
pay him. The Deshaun Watson thing screwed over Lamar Jackson because they paid him way too much guaranteed money, and he underperformed insanely.
That's a very nice way to put it.
Yeah.
It's a very nice way to put it, Nate.
Well, he's allegedly a bad guy, so.
Allegedly. We're going to go allegedly.
Yeah, we'll go allegedly.
I feel for Lamar. And this whole, here's a work of the Niners getting Lamar Jackson, that's not real. That's not.
No. I wasn't saying that.
He would be unstoppable on the Niners.
Okay,
And it's partially one of the reasons why I don't get why the Dolphins aren't looking into getting signing him.
They might be.
They're not.
They're not at all.
They just picked up Tua's fifth year this morning.
Oh, I didn't know that. I should really do some research.
$23 million. They picked up Tua's fifth year. So they're rocking with Tua. Mike McDaniel feels pretty confident that Tua is the quarterback of the future. Well, I don't know how long the future is, but, you know, it's all right.
Oh, yeah, the concussion thing scares me. I had a friend in high school with multiple concussions, and he's in a weird spot right now. It's just a weird. It's tough to see.
Protecting your overall health long term.
And you see his parents chime in. A few months ago, and they're like, no, he's playing.
It's the Hawaiians are very proud people. They're very, very proud people, and they know their son very well. Tua is a God-fearing man, is very much a devout, I believe, Christian. And
Mormon, I think.
Is he Mormon? He might be.
Is he not?
I don't know.
I just know a lot of island. I was on Oahu, where he's from.
You are,
Mormon church is very prominent there.
I didn't realize that. Interesting.
Yeah, very prominent. Maybe he is then. Samoan Tongan.
Yeah, all I know is that he's a very religious man, and he relies on God to follow him and lead his path. And his dream is to be a professional football player and do it at the highest level. So I do see him.
He did do that.
Yeah.
He's done that.
And I think he'll continue to do it is the point, is that I think he will look for guidance through that, and he will look through guidance through his own medical staff and his family support, of course, and he'll try and do this again, and hopefully we're wishing for the best for Tua, obviously.
Yeah, I like Tua. I definitely... I'm hoping he gets better. It's just a scary situation.
It's a really scary situation. Three Lamar concussions in a year.
Lamar would be insane on
for anyone, for any team. So it's the problem I have with this whole discussion with Lamar is like, who's going to really want Lamar? It's like
everyone wants him. It's just the guaranteed money.
I would pay it to him. I don't
and he
care.
doesn't have an agent too, which is crazy.
I mean, is it though?
It's kind of crazy when you're negotiating the biggest contract in the NFL history.
Yeah.
So that's what makes it crazy to me.
It wouldn't be the biggest, though, would it? I'm pretty sure
when it comes to guaranteed money, it'd be the biggest.
Oh, guaranteed, then yes. Yeah. Look, I think Lamar, while he wants to get the Deshaun Watson contract, I don't think he does get it, and I do think that he would settle at $200 million guaranteed.
Yeah, because Deshaun got $250 million, correct?
The whole thing guaranteed. Was guaranteed. The whole thing was guaranteed.
Yeah, so...
Anyways, that is probably going to be it for the Return of the Empire podcast episode.
The Empire has returned.
Yes, we have.
Back and maybe better, depending on how good I get at this. I'm not so confident.
Nate, you did great.
Thank you.
See, he's Nate the Great. He really is.
Yeah. He's You're the first person to call me that.
Really?
No.
I didn't think so.
No, I've been called that since I was like 6 minutes old, maybe.
I feel that.
Yeah.
I feel that.
Yeah.
My name is so long, that's why I abbreviated it.
I know. Yeah. I noticed in the beginning, I didn't want to interrupt your intro, but you put Emil as your like, well, not avid, but like, what's your stage name?
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. It's, I just think it's easier than my full name, Emiliano. I just think it's easier than that.
And Emiliano, are you an Italian?
I am. I'm Italian, Portuguese, Mexican. Yeah, well, yeah. I'm a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I'm a lot of things. Kind of a mud of all cultures, but you know.
I would say the opposite of mud. Mud is gross. Actually, you know what? Mud's good for your skin, so.
No, mutt, not mud. Mutt.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said mud.
No, mutt.
That was it. I thought you were really beating yourself up.
No, I'm not saying that. That was, jeez. Yeah.
No, I thought you said that. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
It's okay.
I don't know where to go from there. Anyways, I'm a lot of different cultures, Italian, Portuguese, Hispanic. Mm-hmm. What are you, sir?
I don't know, and I don't care. I really don't. I'm not proud of a whole lot, I guess. I'm proud of the 49ers and the Kings right now.
Yes, proud of the Kings.
We're very proud of the Kings. The Niners' health died for the Kings' health, I think.
The Niners got so far for the Kings to rise up. They sacrificed the rest of the season.
Yeah. Wild.
Anyways, that'll wrap up episode 1 of the Return of the Empire Season 2 podcast with your hosts, Emil Fragoso and Nate Littlefield.
That's me.
Myth, the legend, Nate
Littlefield. Let's do this. Oh, wait, hold on. That's us. We're being cheered. Thanks. That's our live studio audience. We've got an audience in here.
As you can tell, we're still working through the Kings, and we appreciate you logging on here and listening to us ramble about the Niners for however long we've been on now, honestly. Like almost
35
an hour.
Minutes.
Only 35?
It felt like an hour, huh?
We've been talking a while, it feels like.
That's not good.
That's not good. Anyways, that'll be it for us for the day. We'll be back every single week with a new episode of varying range, depending on the topics of the week, obviously. But stay locked in here at Sacktown Sports, Sacktown Sports 1140 on your AM dial. Listen to all the shows. 12 hours of coverage here on Sacktown Sports. And as well, hit me up on my Twitter at Emiliano Fragoso, right there on the Twitter handle, as well as Sacktown Sports 1140 on Twitter. Nate, do your thing, man. Socials, all that stuff.
Emil, thank you so much. Oh, you want me to shout myself out?
Shout yourself out.
I don't even do social media, but Nate Littlefield on Instagram. I don't know if anyone would follow that. I won't reveal what my YouTube channel is. It's a secret. But I do post a lot of stuff. I make a lot of videos and stuff for Sacktown Sports on their socials. So if there's anything like flair, a lot of flair and unnecessary edits and stuff, that's me.
He just had a really sick Kings edit this morning.
Thank you.
That if you have not seen, y'all, go on the Sacktown Sports YouTube page, Mike under Brown, shorts, yeah. On Mike Brown. It was
He had
great.
A crazy press conference last night, but this isn't a Kings podcast.
No, it's a Niners podcast. Yeah. And with that, we will wrap it up for this episode 1 of Season 2. Thank you for listening, and have a great day, y'all.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.